My guest at this time is Stephen Cortez. You see him on CNBC. He is the founder of Veracruz, and he is also the author of Against the Herd, Six Contrarian Investment Strategies You Should Follow. He's also, if you watch CNBC regularly, you know he's passionate about the issue of China, and he's here today to dispel what he considers some of the myths about the Chinese economy, namely that perhaps we should be modeling our ever-evolving economy on the Chinese model, and he's here to explain why that's not a good idea. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
You bet. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, we certainly hear a lot of political chatter about how the Chinese are quote-unquote cheaters in terms of their currency and trade policies, and I suppose that's largely a separate conversation. But one of the things that we've also heard is that this is an emerging economy. It's the second largest in the world, soon to overtake our own, so perhaps we should model ours more like theirs. You say the results from investment worldwide and so forth don't bear that out. Why is modeling ourselves after China a bad idea?
Well, you know, it is a bad idea, and for this reason, I would say. But first, let me just preface it by saying that I think the idea that China is the ascendant power in every way, and particularly economically, that it will soon eclipse the United States, it's got to be such conventional wisdom that it's almost taken as gospel truth, whether you're talking about on Main Street or on Wall Street or in universities or in Washington, D.C. And I am saying that is a falsehood, that China is, in fact, the greatest risk to the global economy. They have been an incredible growth story, undoubtedly, and they've risen from obscurity just a few decades ago to the second biggest economy in the world. But I believe it's on a foundation which is not sustainable. And the primary reason, there's a lot of reasons I don't like China as a model, but the primary one, and I think the one that America needs to resist the most, is that China is evidence of central planning writ large, where the government, the state dictates industrial policy, economic decision making, the allocation of capital, which businesses thrive, which don't. It is not really capitalism. It's a state version of quasi-capitalism that we saw in Japan in the 1980s, and it can produce enormous fierce growth for a time, but I believe it ultimately creates a bubble. It's unsustainable, and I think we're already starting to see the beginnings of the bursting of that bubble in China, in fact.
Well, let's follow up on a couple of the points you made. First of all, what's the evidence that this dramatic, meteoric rise of the Chinese economically is about to hit a major stumbling block?
Well, I think the biggest one is the performance of the Chinese stock market, frankly. I think money is usually smarter than conventional wisdom or than media opinions, for instance, within the financial media. And so capital is already starting to flee China. So, for instance, last year in 2011, a year in which the U.S. stock market was essentially flat, unchanged on the year, the Chinese stock market was down 20%. And it has badly lagged the U.S. stock market ever since the crisis began in 2008. So I think money is already catching on. Part of the reason, by the way, is the Chinese themselves are not investing in China. They are preferring instead to invest in U.S. treasuries, for instance. It's one of the reasons why a lot of people are just shocked that the U.S. 10-year treasury note has an interest rate of only 2%. One of the reasons is the Chinese keep taking the money they are making and piling it right back into treasuries rather than investing in their own country. For example, China Daily, which is a very major paper in China, recently did a survey of wealthy Chinese, and an amazing majority, 60% of wealthy Chinese, said in this survey that they planned to leave China, which I really think is a mind-boggling statistic. If it were the growth story that it is sold to be to us, and that it is sure to be the economic superpower of the world in front of the United States, you would not have Chinese capital leaving, and you certainly wouldn't have wealthy Chinese planning to leave. One final thing I'd add that I think is evidence of the problems to come in China is not just the wealthy, but across the stratas in China, savings is rising dramatically. So I think the Chinese people, even though the country has prospered in parts, it's a very uneven economy over there, very wealthy on the eastern seaboard, and for those who are connected to the state party, still much dire poverty in the western part of the country. But across the country, the savings rate is rising dramatically, and I think it's because the Chinese people are very smartly realizing that these times are not going to last much longer.
Steve, you said the big lesson is that the United States should not follow the example of central planning. Of course, we're in the middle of a political campaign where you have Republican candidates saying that on some level the president has done just that, whether it's loans to startup energy companies that haven't turned out very well. Some would say even the bailouts have been an example of that. So to what extent are you concerned that that's happening in this country?
No, listen, it certainly has happened in this country. Thankfully, so far, it is not widespread across industries. Now, I mean, but it's a disastrous mistake. I would say that China, though, is an entire country of Solyndras, whereas here, thankfully, it is still relatively isolated. But yes, I think I'm very confident that the United States will remain the economic superpower because of our innovation, our transparency, our rule of law, our demographic growth, all of these attributes that China does not possess. I think we'll maintain our economic superiority for many decades ahead. But I'll be the first to admit that I think the greatest risk by far is actually following the Chinese model. So not only is China not the rival, I think the real risk is not losing to China, it's following the Chinese model. And let's face it, we have, to a large extent, in banking, in automobiles, these are industries which are now de facto or overtly run by the federal government trying to overtake healthcare. So this is the Chinese model, and it is gaining traction for sure with the present administration. I am confident and hopeful that the Republican rivals, though, do not want to, and certainly they told us that they don't want to follow that example.
Last question, about 60 seconds left in our conversation with Steve Cortez, regular contributor to CNBC. He's the founder of Veracruz, author of Against the Herd. Sir, you've also written a piece recently which incorporates one of the great sports stories of the early part of this year, Jeremy Lin, into how the U.S. should approach the Chinese model. The title is Be Like China? No, Be Like Jeremy Lin, who's, I guess, technically Taiwanese. But explain what the difference is and why it's so important.
Yes, well, no, but he's ethnically Chinese is my main point, and
right.
I believe it was his grandparents that fled mainland China during the revolution. But no, my point is, instead of being like China, let's be like Lin, who's ethnically Chinese but an American. Let's embrace innovation and openness, which is the opposite, and I believe a big part of that, by the way, is immigration. I think one of the key advantages that the United States has over China and over most of the world, for that matter, is the openness and the hard work and, in fact, even just the reproduction, the demographic advantages that immigration brings. So Lin's parents both came from Taiwan, both became incredibly successful Silicon Valley engineers. That is a story that's just being repeated millions of times across America. In their case, they ended up sending their son all the way to the probably greatest university in America, to Harvard, and now on to professional sports stardom. But my main point is, too, if China were anything like the story it is promoted to be, we would see a queue of people trying to enter China. In fact, we do not. The masses that want to immigrate are still overwhelmingly trying to come here to the country that the media and Wall Street would have us believe is in decline, and I think the people voting with their feet are telling us very much otherwise.
Steve, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Steve Cortez is the founder of Veracruz. He's the author of Against the Herd, Six Contrarian Investment Strategies You Should Follow, and he's a regular contributor to CNBC. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.